We are back. It's the Joe Holka Show presented by Line Movement. Always excited to talk trade targets here early in the week with one of my favorite people to talk about football in general. He's the co-owner of footballguys.com. Sigmund Bloom, welcome back, my friend. How was your week 10 overall?
It was good, if only because that image of DeAndre Hopkins is going to be just burned onto my brain. Mm-hmm. I feel so bad for Buffalo fans, but that's why we tune in every Sunday. It's something truly breathtaking, exhilarating even to watch. You catch a little contact buzz off of it. And another week that just shows us that this is something that, how can I put this, Joe? Like, as a geological time, right? Like, we can look in rock and we can see millions of years, and that's how a season is, right? Like, we look back over a season, there's a Super Bowl champion, there's these statistics, but as you experience it, there's so many ebbs and flows and changes. That's what we try to catch whenever we're making trades and setting our lineups. And you know, I've likened it to a mechanical bull, where for a second you feel like, okay, I got this, and then the next thing you know, you're on your back and hurting.
Yeah, I was pretty excited. Obviously, I'm from Arizona, live in Minnesota, so everyone here wants to talk about the Minneapolis Miracle, and I'm on board with that because that happens to be like one of my biggest DFS wins ever, was that Stephon Diggs catch. But this week, like, felt like I got a little bit something similar. It was kind of fun. We do a show called The Tilt Space on the Line Movement YouTube channel every Sunday night at 6:30. If anyone watching this later hasn't checked it out yet, but Michael Leone, he's the head of analytics at Establish the Run, high stakes DFS player. He's also a big time Bills fan overall. Oh. So it was me and him neck and neck. He was actually winning, again, I feel like I say this every week, he was winning the Thunderdome for 50K right before that catch. So I wanted to cheer, obviously, for my Cardinals, but I also felt bad for my friend, who was definitely going to go down the leaderboard a little bit. Thankfully, he only moved into second place. So tough to feel bad for a guy that just make 30 grand, right? So I felt right. Like I could pile it on a little bit more after that. But that was just a really cool experience. Like, do you think Kyler even knew where he was throwing that? He just like chucked it down the field. Right. I'm just going to throw it to the best player basically on the field, right, and see what happens. Is that kind of what happened?
Yeah, and it reminded me, I went on a rant on our show last night about any quarterback who throws the ball away on fourth down. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have an instinct to just give your team a chance. Give them a chance. Kyler Murray had that instinct, and you know, it was the kind of thing that galvanizes a team, turns them into a team of destiny, and we get to turn around and watch them play against the Seahawks in a pretty big game Thursday night.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting one on Thursday. Nice to not have to make, decision with Kyler Murray. I'm not sure what his price is going to be, but he's been already like Lamar Jackson 2019 right. type of pricing. So, but people that are watching this, they want to talk about trades. I know there's some sure. leagues out there that their trade deadline is kind of come and gone. I know that someone in the chat was just saying their trade deadline is tonight. But Sig, I don't know if you know this, man, but like the cover boys for this video, it's like basically the opposite of the Madden curse right now, because last week Tom Brady goes out there and just goes absolutely crazy in the 1 p.m. slate. It felt like you had the early nuts if you played Tom Brady, but he's one of those guys that you said to go after and get last week. So shout out to you on that one. So let's start with Chris Carson. This, I guess, Russell Wilson situation where he just hasn't looked good over the last few weeks. But I mean, we talked about this a lot last week also, that this Rams team seems like the real deal, at least on defense, and they've always kind of given Russ fits a little bit. So can we kind of look past it a little bit? But I know Carson, I guess, on the other side of this passing game, coming back from injury, might be someone that would be helpful in the fantasy playoffs, right?
Yeah, and I'll toss Raheem Mostert in here too. And yeah, what this really is if you're looking for somebody cheap, or at least cheaper than their typical value, because there's risk. There's risk, especially with Carson, with these midfoot sprains, and Pete Carroll, we can't really trust him. But this is about the cheapest you're going to be able to get a potential running back one, whether it's Carson or Mostert. Mostert hopefully coming back after the bye. The other thing you like about Carson is, doesn't it just seem like Pete Carroll's going to look at last week's game, yesterday's game, and get the exact wrong lesson out of it, you know?
Let's run the ball more. Let's establish it. It's not working anymore.
In yeah. Russell Wilson. There was that play when Wilson had lots of green grass in front of him, maybe even could have scored a touchdown on the ground, and decided to throw it back against his body to the corner yeah. of the end zone.
Yep.
And that, I feel like, was that moment. It was like, okay, you know, it's like letting your kid have a curfew to midnight, and then you bring back and the car's got a dent. All right. no more midnight curfew for you. So that could spell a lot of Chris Carson in November and December.
I'm with you. Raheem Mostert, pretty similar, obviously hoping that they kind of get the keys there overall. Just such a valuable, I guess, backfield if they do end up giving someone, I guess, take that out of like that revolving door that they've had. But Mostert's like the one that's been able to kind of bring them out of that at times, right?
And it's that washing machine churn of the season that we forget that when he was on the field, he was basically scoring a 70 or 80 yard touchdown almost every week. He's that good. And it just makes sense for this offense to organize around him. It's one of those reminders. Some of these are just a tap on the shoulder reminder. And you know, this could be one of those situations where if you can just sneak into the fantasy playoffs, if you have Raheem Mostert, he can be the difference.
So Miles Sanders is the next one on your list. He was someone that was kind of like a cool GPP play last week. He ended up being a little bit higher owned than I thought he would be, definitely by the end of the week. 15 carries for 85 yards, 5 targets in this game. No, he didn't get a lot done overall, I guess, through the air and from a yardage perspective. But what are your thoughts about Miles Sanders as a potential buy in a trade right now?
He just looked so good. I mean, he's turned into everything we want him to turn into. It just happened that the bottom dropped out with Carson Wentz. Now, that could be a problem. That could be an obstacle. But again, like the Raheem Mostert talk, to regulate the offense, especially because Sanders doesn't have a lot of mileage on him yet this year. And we saw down the stretch last year, they were willing to give him a lot of touches. So maybe in a back to basics kind of way, let's make Miles Sanders the centerpiece of this offense. And he has the talent, if they do use him that way, give him 5, 6, 7, 8 targets, including downfield targets. Remember, that was how he got worked into the offense initially last year. And, you know, facing these tough run defenses, right? Earlier this year, the Ravens, the play he got hurt on was a long run. The Steelers, he had a draw play, I think, for 70-plus yard touchdown. Just, you know, every time you give Miles Sanders a touch, the percentages of those kinds of plays happening. And those are the plays that make our DFS lineups too, right? I mean, that's, I understand why he'd be a fashionable play. And he has the juice right now. You can see it in the way he's moving on the field, his explosiveness, his change of direction. It's coming. So hopefully Doug Peterson realizes that the W path goes through Sanders, not Wentz.
Yeah, there's always value in guys, especially at the running back position, that have a little bit less wear on the tires. So I'm with you on that one for sure. My only concern, I guess, is that there's just so many mouths to feed there right now, and Carson Wentz has still just not looked very good as far as moving this offense down the field. But that said, they're getting healthier on the offensive line. Maybe there's better days ahead for someone like Miles Sanders. So I feel like we've talked about him a lot, but I mean, one of the most polarizing trade decisions out there right now is how do we value a guy like Michael Thomas? So what are you doing with him, I guess, after these two floor games? I guess part two of this question, if we do get Jameis this week, maybe do the pieces come together seamlessly? Like, to me, like Slant Boy would be a lot better with Breeze's skill set, get the ball out quick, that sort of thing. That's not really like touch isn't necessarily Jameis's strength, right?
It's our weekly Michael Thomas update. I think this is one where it's difficult to know exactly what the right move is. But again, the perception is going to swing too far in one direction or the other. Do we count on the hive mind to absorb that with Drew Brees' broken ribs on both sides of his body, collapsed lung? Maybe we'll see him in week 15 or 16. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe this is like a playoffs Willis Reed kind of situation. But either the fantasy hive mind is going to absorb that this is really bad for everybody in the offense and overreact. Because again, if you have to go back to a rudimentary pass offense, Michael Thomas corrects a lot of errors. You know, Michael Thomas makes it less difficult for there to be a lot of moving parts and deep into progressions, things like that. And you certainly would imagine that with Jameis Winston, he would go out there with the first and foremost. He had, by the way, 11, out of 11 targets, I think 5 were to Michael Thomas. They were terrible throws, but that's the kind of ratio you want to see for Michael Thomas. And it would make sense that throwing to Michael Thomas is one of the safer plays for Jameis Winston. Now, we could see more Taysom Hill. But I think that it's more likely that there'll be an overreaction. There might be an underreaction. Michael Thomas will still have that name brand value, possibly. But I think at this point, people are so disgusted with what he has yielded, that it's a calculated risk to get Michael Thomas, but it could be one of those situations where they really simplify the pass offense and it doesn't result in what we'd hope for Michael Thomas, but more than what we think we're going to get right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time of the year that we're consolidating depth for guys that could potentially be league winners, right? So, like, I think that's the biggest still argument in favor of Michael Thomas. We still don't know exactly what's going on with, like, his ceiling this year. And just, like, now that we have a different quarterback thrown into the mix, like, it's possible that it's just not going to be Michael Thomas's year. But it's also possible that, like, we've seen Jameis just elevate passing games in general as a whole. Like, he can support more than one guy in this offense. We've seen him do it before. So I'd be on the side of taking the chance on Michael Thomas for sure. This next one, it just seems like just Houston always feels, at least from a DFS perspective, they just seem so underrated all the time. Like the Deshaun Watson's price continues to go down. Obviously the crazy weather they were dealing with last week just doesn't really, we talked about the pieces coming together with Jameis and Michael Thomas. Weather and deep field passing does not go very well with the wind we saw last week and Deshaun Watson, what this team wants to do. So Brandon Cooks, he's one of those guys that you're trading for.
And I think when we look at the schedule coming up, New England this week, and then a very favorable game for this passing game against Detroit, and then Indy, Chicago, Indy, and Cincinnati in week 16. When I look at those Indy, Chicago, Indy games, I just feel like to slow down pressure, you're not going to have a lot of deep passing to Will Fuller. I think it's going to be more of Brandon Cooks on shorter routes. I think he could be a PPR monster down the stretch because you're not going to be leaning on Duke Johnson in the running game now that David Johnson's on IR. I think that that's like a equivalent. And, you know, maybe there's a watch, you know, Randall Cobb, like, put that one in your back pocket for those games, putting together some DFS lineups, depending on what his percentage owned projections would be. But, you know, someone who might be very low percentage owned, but he could also rack up 6, 7, 8, 9 easy catches because those are the functional equivalent of run plays where it's a high percentage play. It will put you in a better down and distance, keep the offense on schedule, keep the defense from pinning their ears back and coming after Deshaun Watson. So I just think that the game plan will intersect more with that short passing game. And I think Brandon Cooks, maybe because the Texans season has been so bad, he's shown everyone he's still really good. He's still a really good NFL receiver. I don't think he's getting credit for it, at least in his perception around the old fantasy DFS circles.
Yeah, he started off just kind of rough, but since then he's been extremely consistent. So I'm with you on Cooks if you still think he's undervalued in the trade markets right now. The last guy, and we'll touch on him quickly and get you out of here, Sig. We talk about these dual threat quarterbacks overall, right? So one that you could potentially get on the cheap right now is still Daniel Jones. We see, it feels like almost every week he breaks like a big run. He's not owned in DFS. You can't touch him in all these different formats because of this offense as a whole is just not one that gets you too excited. But you just watch the things he can do with his legs, and the floor is already built in. The ceiling is immense if they can figure things out on offense, right?
Exactly. So we're seeing rational usage with him as a runner by design, because he's big enough. It's like Cam Newton or Josh Allen. He's big enough that you're not really thinking of it as an injury risk when you're running it by design. And he had the touchdown last week. He had a couple of good runs in the red zone. And then that, of course, creates advantages for your offense. Like you said, the next part is using guys like Evan Engram and Darius Slayton to their fullest. But if those things come together, here's the beautiful part. And, you know, we're just highlighting players that could be at an inflection point in their value. After the bye, that's another reason you might be able to get Daniel Jones. If you're not happy with your quarterback in a typical fantasy league, this could be a week to make a move for Daniel Jones, because after the bye, you get Cincinnati, Seattle, and Arizona. And, you know, those are games where remember, he did this last year, where he could easily put up 35, 40 fantasy points. And if you add in used as a runner by design, like you said, we should be thinking of him more in the category of the Lamar Jacksons and Kyler Murrays than we are. And there might be a slight lag, and that's your chance to take advantage.
Love it, Sig, the co-owner of footballguys.com. These are some serious weeks coming up here, obviously, yep. And from the season-long perspective, playoffs, if you need that extra edge, I have no skin in the game whatsoever outside of liking Sigmund Bloom a hell of a lot, but I know that you guys are doing great work over there. So everyone that needs that extra push through the fantasy playoffs, check out footballguys.com. Definitely follow Sigmund Bloom. He's at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter. good luck in week 11, my friend. We're pushing through, but hopefully we'll keep getting amazing moments like we had last week in Arizona.
Yeah, I always look forward to this and happy to help out your great community. However we can, as you know, trade deadlines might be passing. I still am going to be hanging out here because I like spending a little time with Joe every week. So let us know what we can do to help you.
Love it. We're going to figure out something else to do after the trade deadline. So more from Sig to come. I'll talk to you later, my man. Have a good one. There you have it. Sigmund Bloom. We just like talking football so much together that even after these trade deadlines and season long kind of come and go, we're going to figure out another way to keep Sig involved on the channel. If you're here for the first time, would love it if you would consider subscribing to the channel. We do this every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Obviously, the big show is on Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. Obviously, check out everything else that's going on at Line Movement. About half of my shows are on the Line Movement YouTube channel. So check out the link in the description if you want to check out that side of things. The one thing, obviously, if you're just coming in to see Sig, that we always want to kind of touch on here is the Patreon. So the Patreon is something that we started a few weeks back. Over 200 people in our Discord community. So if you want to get involved in our chat, daily fantasy sports, betting, season long, a lot of different chatter going on in there for sure. So definitely come join us. $1 per month, 25 cents per week, give you that extra push as we go through the fantasy playoffs. And then it's DFS time. So if you're here and you only play season long, there's a lot of really smart people in there that can help you out, try and get started, all that good stuff. I do an exclusive live stream directly before kickoff, give you guys my final thoughts where it's nowhere else. It's not on YouTube, all that good stuff. We do a weekly DraftKings tournament that's free to enter. I give away a $30 Amazon gift card for the winner of that. And then we watch some Red Zone together, sweat the games, all that good stuff. So if you haven't checked out the Patreon, definitely do that. The people in the chat are restless, Jake. It happens every week. They want their waiver wire pickups. They want to talk through all of this. So we're going to go through a couple of your favorite running backs to target on the waiver wire. We're also going to go through some wide receivers. A little bit thin this time of the year overall, I would imagine. But Kalen Ballage, we just talk about these Chargers backs. Doesn't matter which one it is. Seems like they're a waiver pickup. Is one of these guys ever going to emerge without an injury? I know there's been some issues there with that as well. But this is like kind of a Band-Aid until we get Eckler back, right?
It is, and Eckler's saying he should be back soon. You know, players are always going to be positive, but, you know, you have to, like, I told you last week, told everybody, I said, I can't get the entire history of Kalen Ballage out of my head and just say one good game has changed everything. Well, two good games changes a little bit. It actually, you have to take into account. He looks different, you know, whether it's his training, whether he just fits better here, whether the coaching staff taught him something off the side on the practice squad we don't know about. Whatever it is, this doesn't look like the same Kalen Ballage we used to know. I'm not saying as soon as Austin Eckler comes back, Austin Eckler isn't the lead. He is the lead. But the good news about Kalen Ballage, this version of Kalen Ballage, is that until Eckler comes back, he's at least an RB2. And once Eckler comes back, he'll pretty much turn into Joshua Kelly for the first three or four games this season before Eckler got hurt, and the fact that he could be an RB3, that complimentary piece, because the Chargers already weren't going to give or weren't giving him 20, 25 touches every single game in Eckler. So when he comes back from an injury, pretty sure they're not going to do that after coming back from one. So Ballage actually has more than just a 1 week, potential 2 week value. It's not going to be as high as it's been, but he does have more than 1 week.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, five catches last week, 18 rush attempts. The volume was definitely there. Again, I guess the revenge spot overall. How do we miss the Ballage revenge spot?
Gross. Revenge don't matter.
Yeah, we were too busy.
Adrian Peterson, how revenge is working this year.
Yeah, all these guys like that. We were too busy not playing Duke Johnson at 5K to worry about Kalen Ballage. Your next guy, Salvin Ahmed, the other Miami back. I see it feels like it's a revolving door there. Peter Overzet was trying to tell me that it was Patrick Laird week. Apparently not. There was actually some high stakes people that were on Ahmed. I wasn't really considering it on Sunday morning with some of the other cheap guys we had available. But tell me about him on the waiver wire this week.
Yeah, Ahmed. So what I said about him in one of the draft profiles, that he's got some nice moves. He's got some good elusiveness. The problem is sometimes he thinks too much and kind of needs to make a decision instead of dance a little bit. But so far, he's looked like he's adjusted to the NFL level a little bit here now with a different team. But the real appeal is going to be if he's getting these 18, 20 touch games. So if Ahmed is the lead, for now, you do worry about Myles Gaskin coming back, but they just cut Jordan Howard. So that tells you that even if Gaskin doesn't come back, that they have enough faith in Ahmed that he's going to be the guy. But Here's the other problem. What if Matt Breida comes back? So you got to go, you have to, in seasonally, you have to go take the chance that Salvin Ahmed is the answer going forward. That's what we say about all these backfields. You have to take that upside, because if he is the answer, you have an RB2 on your hands. The downside is if Breida comes back and starts to get work involved in the passing game, and then if Gaskin comes back and they turn to Gaskin because of what he did before he got hurt. But if anything, you got to go take the chance. I'm just, the difference between Bellage is going to have a role likely, even if Eckler comes back. Ahmed could lose his role completely if everybody comes back, that being Breida and Gaskin.
Yeah, I'm not going to make Jake do it for the 18th week in a row, but outside of these running backs we talked about today, just go check the waiver wire. See if someone dropped one of these like clear backups for someone that might be, if they get injured, they're instantly a running back too, something like that. This is the time of the year that you got to really pay attention to that sort of thing for sure. So Jake, yes. Let's move on. I'm not going to make you say it five times, literally five weeks back to back. So we took care of it. Now we got time to talk some wide receivers. Michael Pittman Jr., first wide receiver on your list for pickups on the waivers this week.
A lot of preseason hype for Pittman. People thought he could be the answer to the number two playing outside alongside T.Y. Hilton, that Paris Campbell would be the slot option. You have a nice trio there. Well, a couple things happened. One is T.Y. Hilton fell off a cliff. So then there was like, ooh, Pittman might be the number one because, oh, what happened? Paris Campbell got hurt too. Well, the bad thing was Pittman got hurt the week after Paris Campbell got hurt. So people kind of forgot about Pittman. And then he came back first game, very little usage. But the second week had a solid game against the Ravens. And then we just saw him blow up on Thursday Night Football. You need to go after Pittman pretty hard if you need wide receiver help. At this point of the year, you said it at the top of talking about waivers, is it's super thin right now. If you have a budget left, if you have your number one waiver priority, if you need running back, maybe go for Bellage or Ahmed, as we talked about. But if you need wide receiver, go after Pittman hard, because he has the ability to be the number one wide receiver for Phillip Rivers going forward. And if so, you saw the upside and potential on Thursday night that he brings. So he's somebody that you go, if you saved your budget, you blow it at this point now for Pittman.
I'm with you. I think he's pretty clearly the top guy. If we move down to Keelan Cole, 5 receptions for 47 yards and a touch, but did have 7 targets last week. Obviously, yeah, a little bit of weather maybe skews it towards the kind of intermediate area of the field. But what do you think about Keelan Cole as a pickup with just a great quarterback play, an amazing team total, I would imagine, every single week. But the volume should be there, right?
Yeah, so I was laughing because in my waiver article, and I promise you said you're not going to make me say that 5 times about making sure the next man up is on the waivers. This is the last time I'll mention Keelan Cole, because I've mentioned him so many times this year. If you don't want him, you don't want him. At this point, I don't know what's left to tell you. Keelan Cole has been the number two for the entire season of the Jaguars. Chenault was mixed in a little bit there, but it was still Keelan Cole running the second most routes, having the second most targets. If things are going crazy pressure wise after Luton, he's going to look to Keelan Cole. DJ Chark is still going to get his, but the number two is Keelan Cole. I've been saying it all year. If you don't want him, that's fine. But for everybody out there that's willing to pick up the Cole Beasleys of the world, or, you know, CeeDee Lamb before Dak Prescott got hurt, Keelan Cole's been that guy all year long. And I don't know what the perception is, but similar to James Robinson, maybe it's just people don't like things on the Jaguars. I don't know what else to say.
It's the same reason these guys' price tags just don't move. It's the same reason we got Terry McLaurin at $1,000 underpriced because he plays for Washington for like 5 weeks. So I'm with you, man. The next one here, it's going to be our last guy we talk about on the waiver wire. Josh Reynolds, obviously a really big performance here. Big buy low type of guy as well. 10 targets last night, 94 yards and 8 catches. So I guess you think that the way that the Rams are playing overall on defense, maybe there's still some value in this team overall. Tell me about Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, so I actually did have some Josh Reynolds, and I had some Josh Reynolds in seasonal too. And smart people were on Josh Reynolds, and the smart people were on him because what the Rams started to do the 2 games before their bye is running a lot more 11. They're running a lot more 3 wide and getting away from the 2 tight end set. So that was part of the appeal of Josh Reynolds. What happened in this specific game is not just that, but what we talked about in the offseason, I think you and I even talked about it, but it was the fact that at the end of last year, Cooper Kupp started coming off the field a decent amount, and Cooper Kupp was coming off the field for Josh Reynolds. That just happened again in week 10. I was actually shocked at that part of it. I thought that Josh Reynolds was just going to be mixed in a lot more 3 wide, but they started pulling Cooper Kupp off the field again. I'm not saying it's smart when we're sitting back and like, hey, talent versus talent. I'm still going to take Kupp over Josh Reynolds. But Sean McVay now for the second year in a row, towards the end of the season, it started to turn to Josh Reynolds, mixing in almost as much as Kupp. If he's going to be used even 50, 60% of the time, like he was towards the end of last year, Josh Reynolds is not only going to become an interesting DFS play in the right matchup, he might be in lineups in seasonal. So Josh Reynolds would be the lowest of these three, but he's not that far. Actually, I think he has a higher ceiling than Keelan Cole, but he's right there with him.
Love it, man. Like you said, a lot of people were on him last week. If he's still out there on the waiver wire, love the Josh Reynolds call. But Jake Seeley, everyone, make sure you guys take advantage of everything that we have going on with The Athletic. $1, I believe, per month for all of the great content over on The Athletic. Follow Jake on Twitter. He's at AllInKid. Any final thoughts, my man?
No, hopefully you have another good week and good luck for you for spending that much on FanDuel again, getting back over there. I can't do it.
Getting back on the horse, man. Getting back on the horse. Now, honestly, like say what you want about FanDuel, like they structure some of their contests a lot better than DraftKings, especially on the smaller slates and the smaller field sizes that I like to play. So I think it actually plays to my strengths a little bit at times too, jamming in a lot of running back value, a lot of touchdown upside at running back. And then there's these random guys like Hollywood Brown that are 5,900 that I can keep jamming in as well. So FanDuel was good to me last week. Maybe that's the time to get away, but we'll see.
I don't know. The FanDuel has been killing me this year. I've been barely missing the cut and getting paid out. I'm talking like that bar is just right behind it for the past 3 weeks. So FanDuel hasn't been that nice to me. Oh, the other thing too is, as a complete sidebar, if anybody ever wants to know who to avoid in golf, I can never get more than four players through. I listen to Pat Mayo every single time. I read everything I can, and I still only get four golfers through every single time. I don't know what it is. I'm cursed in golf.
And Pat's the first one to tell you not to pick his picks, man. He's the entertainer. Pat's the man.
He's good.
Pat's good at like every sport, but like golf in general, he still says it every time. He's like, don't take my picks. Don't take my picks. listen to this guy, not me. We love Pat Mayo around here, man. So on that note, since we're talking about golf, we've already lost half the people in the chat, I'm sure. So it's time to play some video games and talk through some start sit stuff with the chat. So appreciate you, Jake. I'll see you next week. Good luck, man.
Yes. Everybody give him a thumbs up. And this should be a lot more than 56.
Let's go. Let's go, Jake. Awesome show today. Thanks for being here, everyone. Really appreciate it. If you could do me a huge favor and leave a rating and review on this podcast before you get out of here, would really appreciate it. Makes a huge difference on building up this new show. And hope to see you Sunday morning on YouTube, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, youtube.com/JoeHolka. We'll walk through this entire slate again, do a little bit of Q&A with the community. Always a great time.